Okay, we're up to Perek Vav Pasuk Mem Beis. Perek Vav Pasuk Mem Beis. We are in the middle of discussing the Ori Halevim. Okay, so the next Sukkim to the end of the Perek, it's a maze. It's not clear why the Sukkim are arranged in this fashion. The basic idea that what Ezra, the Sefer, is trying to bring out is that the Levim did not have the chelik in the land. Once we really get very easily sidetracked in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. We start out trying to be miyachis David, and the process we switch around. And we start with Shevet Yehuda, then we go to Shevet Ruvain, and then we finally make it to Shevet. Once we Shevet Levi along the line. Oh, once we get to Shevet Levi, we have to tell you all about them, the heads of their family, the Kohanim. And we basically have broken up Shevet Levi into four parts: the Kohanim, the family of the Gershom, family of Kohos, the family of Merari. Kohos had two families: the Aharonim, the Kohanim, and the remainder of the members of Kohos, which produced down the line the most famous of them all, Haman. Haman was the leader of the Meshoyrim, those who sang in the Beis Hamikdash. Choir master, so we have a grand total of four major families that came from Shevet Levi. And now yesterday we just began to describe that they did not receive their own portion in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem u'nachalaso, and therefore they did not receive portion of the land, therefore they would live in Ori Miklot, cities that were given to them by their brethren in Eretz Yisrael, by the other 12 Shvatim. We mentioned yesterday the first was the Kohen. So what happened, the Seder HaDevarim was, there was a girl, and the girl said that different members of the Shevet Levi shall come forward, and different members of the 12 Shvatim should come forward to provide land for these families in Shevet Levi. The first section, the first part of Shevet Levi to come forward to receive their land was Aharon, the Kohanim. All of the Kohanim, those descendants, and they received, we learned yesterday, the first city was, the top of the list was Hebron. That is the most significant city, the most significant Ori Miklot, and that was given to Aaron's descendants. And we discussed yesterday the significance, why Dafka is Hebron, or Mars Machpelah, the hidden Kedusha. It's a twin city to Yerushalayim, the place where Aaron and his children dominate, where they have full control of the base HaMikdash. That was the topic we discussed yesterday. Now in Pasuk Mem Beis, we go back and we, being that we were sidetracked, the reason why we were sidetracked was because we have the Pasuk addressed the contradiction that Kalev also received Hebron. It was a gift to Kalev for his role in spying out the land. And the contradiction, did Kalev get Hebron or did the descendants of Aaron get Hebron? And to that the Pasuk says they both got it. Levi, Aaron got the city itself, whereas Kalev got the surrounding fields and suburbs of the city of Hebron. Now we return, we review. V'levnei Aaron, because we got sidetracked with Hebron, we review once again. V'levnei Aaron, Nosnu Ori HaMiklot, cities of refuge, as Hebron, v'yes Livna, v'yes Migrosheha, v'yes Yatir, v'yes Eshtemoa, v'yes Migrosheha. So we review the cities again, and we review Hebron, because we got sidetracked. Livna, Yatir, Eshtemoa, we mentioned over here four cities. Next, Pasuk Mem Gimel,
V'yes Chiz. By the way, the place called Yatir.
Yeah.
The hills of Hebron.
Well, today, that exists today. So it's supposed to be the same city. Now, by the way, these cities that are being given, even though it does not say in the Pasuk, are coming from Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Shimon. It's not mentioned. That's very, very mystery. It's mentioned later on. Now, the order we're going to see now, the order of the Pesukim are very strange. It's very difficult. I don't know the Mahalach, and all the Mufarshim, they say, you know, you really got to have a map to keep track of what's going on here to the end of the Perek, and you have to, of course, the secret to understand this only by contrasting what it says here, exactly what it says in Sefer Yehoshua. Sefer Yehoshua Perekov also describes the Ori Halevim, and only when you put the two together can you really see the complete picture of what was going on. We discussed yesterday there was an original plan that was meant to be in the time of Yehoshua, And then there was what happened in actuality, which is a little bit different, which is being mentioned and recorded in Divrei Hayom by Ezra. That's really what the Radak. The Radak make what I told you yesterday. I saw the Radak says that word for word. That's already six. That is eight. So a grand total of eight cities were given from Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Shimon. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that anywhere in these psukim. It'll become clear. I mean, maybe in the few psukim that it's true. But we do know that from Sefer Yoshua that Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Shimon were the first ones to come forward from the Gorol and to give the children of Aaron these cities as Ore Miklot for them to live. It's just also very interesting when you ask people about Ore Miklot, the average person will tell you which cities were correlated to Ore Miklot, the Ore HaLevim. And when you say Levim, they think about the Levim who sang Shira and who did were the gatekeepers and the maintenance, but they don't think about the Kohanim. And it's clear as day here in Divrei Hayamim that the cities where the Kohanim lived also served as Ore Miklot. It's clear as day. We're dealing over here.
The Gemara says the reason why they Ore Miklot would be in Yerushal Kohana because they gave their life was the life of the Kohen.
Teach.
All about life.
Right.
About
to teach you how to value life.
The value of life.
The value of life. Kohanim, it's appropriate.
By accident was more.
But the average person, I think, who doesn't deeply learn these in Yonim, you think Ari Halim, it means the cities that the Levim lived in. You don't necessarily associate it with the Kohanim. But the truth is, the cities that the Kohanim lived in had the same status. Sorry, Nick, but also right. And this little here, explicit here, we have eight cities.
These cities were, I mean, they were given flat out without, I thought perhaps,
they were leased.
It just occurred to me that Kalev would, so to speak, because he was married into the family, he was
right.
Married to Miriam,
yeah.
He had a shtickle, you know, family with Moshe and Aaron, that he said, okay, we're going to give you Hebron.
Seems not.
Right.
Yeah.
Moshe is not mashma like that, but I'm just...
Yeah, so it seems that it was completely given. He had nothing. He had no chelek in Hebron. Hebron was purely a city that belonged to the Kohanim, 100%. And Kalev had ownership from Sheva Yehuda of the lands and the suburbs that surrounded Hebron. But the city itself was part of the Kohanim, or the Ori HaKohanim. So we have over here a grand total of eight cities being given to the Kohanim. Now it's important to mention we learned before, I don't remember, we'll do so tomorrow anymore, I'm getting a little mixed up, but we learned not so long ago that David HaMelech and Shmuel HaNavi instituted 24 mishmaros. There were 20, the Kohanim and the Levim, they served in the Beis HaMikdash, they rotated. Every week, another mishmar would arrive in Yerushalayim, would take up residence in the hotel in Yerushalayim, and would spend a week. Kohanim worked basically 2 days. 2 days a year. I mean, 2 weeks a year, and in turn, the mishmaros were divided into the batei avos. Each mishmar was divided into six parts. So really, a kohen worked approximately once in every 24 weeks. Okay, that's what we know about the mishmaros. And we know that the same way that the kohanim were divided into 24 mishmaros, the levim were divided into 24 mishmaros. And we know the same way the kohanim and the levim were divided into 24 mishmaros, the yisraelim. Every member, every Yisrael was also part of a group of 24 groups. Yeah, you had to come up on your week to be in the spalel to pray at the time when the kavanos were being offered. Yes?
The eight cities that were Ari Miklat, that's in addition to the six?
No, there's a grand total here of 48. So this includes Betzer. Includes, if you look very carefully, I don't know the details, but when you look very carefully, some of the names, those original those six cities were really part of the Nachala of the 12 Shvatim. But the 12 Shvatim had to relinquish their ownership of those cities, even though it was in their territory, because the Torah said they have to be these six cities, these they were given by name, had to be given over to the Levium.
But you just said that there were eight more Aaron
No. So these eight do not necessarily. No, there's only maybe one or two from these eight that were part of those six original cities. These are not the big six. The big six are scattered all over. Three on the eight, the east side of the Arden, three on the west side. And here, everything's over here. In fact, is on the west side. So you can't have more than three, at least. And probably, who knows, even from that, the names also changed. And I don't even know the names are specific. The names were not specified. On the west side of the Yarden, were the names specified in the Devarim? Could be they were, I don't remember. The names were specified. Even if they were specified, their names changed. They were known by different names. But
only on the east side, because Moshe
was there. Moshe wanted, so but he didn't. So, but there were six major cities, and there were another 42 additional. If you count up all the cities listed, it's a grand total of 48. The truth is, we count the individual cities who are missing, and the Mitzvah always makes that point. However, as we're going to see in a few moments, he does the psukim do tell us the general number: 13, 13, 10, 12. The psukim break up the numbers into 13, 13, 10, 12 for a grand total of 48. And those 48 included, of course, the six cities that were set aside by Moshe and Yoshua, plus the additional 42 cities which the Levim had to give. And everything was done through the Goyel. The Goyel decided which Shevet had to give to which one of these four branches of Shevet Levi. Now the point I wanted to make over here is, we mentioned over here that the Kohanim lived in eight cities. Now we know that over here, Ezra is writing this at a much later point in time, much after the time of David and the time of Shmuel, when the Kohanim were already divided into 24 Mishmaros. However, when the Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaros, there is no mention, as far as I know, that they lived, each Mishmar lived in a different city. Originally, when they were divided into 24 Mishmaros, before they were 24, there were 16 Mishmaros. I think there were 8. The Gemara in Taimus gives the different numbers, how it started. Moshe made, I think, 8 Mishmaros, then they made 16, then it became 24. But when they were divided into 24 Mishmaros, nowhere does it say that the Kohanim, each Mishmar, had to live in their own particular city. The Kohanim, they all live together. Live together, wherever you want to live, you live. There were 8 cities over here. We only have a record of there being 8 cities. They all lived together, and everyone was part of a mishmar. When your time came, you would go to the base HaMikdash to serve and your mishmar. However, we know for a fact that at a later point in time, this mishmaros stuck together as a group, and they lived in their own city, in their own particular village. They were isolated. And that's what we learn in the Kina. The Kina makes it very clear, the Kina of Chavetzelis Hasho makes it very clear that there were 24 cities. Each city, we even list the cities. Sometimes it lists by name of the city, sometimes it lists the name of the Mishmar, sometimes it lists a particular sin that they committed and that they're called by that sin. But we do have a tradition that indeed there were 24 different cities to accommodate the 24 Mishmaros. Here, it's only mentioning, we already begin to see this idea, we're only mentioning that the Kohanim lived in 8 cities.
Mishmar developed almost, they were all together as almost like a clan.
Correct. They were a clan, right? And I once saw a very beautiful Dvar Torah from one of the big Darshanim on Tisha B'Av. He explained that like today, just like today, when you go into a shul, so if you go to a Sfaradish shul, it has its unique minhagim. You go into a Litvish shul, it has its minhagim. You go to Hasidim, there are all different types of Hasidim. There are many flavors of Judaism, of observance, minhagim. And every single shul has its unique flavor. In the Beis HaMikdash, every week, the Beis HaMikdash became a different type of mokom. It became a different type of place. In other words, if you bring a carbon and you come in all the winter, and who's done duty? Mishmar number 13. Mishmar number 13 could be they come, they're the Taimanim. And if they're the Taimanim, their minhagim, the customs of how they do things in the Beis HaMikdash is very different. First of all, they look different, and they behave different, and it could very well be that they introduced different types of minhagim into the Beis HaMikdash. And when you come the next week, if you were to come back the next week, the following week, you would discover an entirely different Hasidish of Beis HaMikdash. And you come the next week, all of a sudden, who's running the Sfaradim? This is the real Sfaradim, and they're doing all these strange things. They're not talking about Tikkun HaDin, because there are certain things that the halacha has to be a certain way. But there are different minhagim. Like even you find in the Gemara, how do you make the lechem aponim? Do you make the lechem aponim round, or is the lechem aponim square? Okay, how do you light? Where is the Ner Ma'aravi? Is the Ner Ma'aravi the center? Or is the Ner Ma'aravi the Ner that's all the way towards the end? Is the menorah positioned in Tzafon LeDarom, or is it positioned in Mizrach LeMaariv? So it's not so difficult to say, is that every Mishmar had their own tradition. There was one Mishmar, you know how we make the Lechem Aponim? We make the Lechem Aponim round, like a boat. And the other Mishmar, they make the Lechem Aponim square. Elu the Elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim, what?
How are they fitted into the...
That's, they have the whole, that's called Lord Menachas, the whole technique, it's the whole, there are many sugyas, there are many...
They put it on the...
There are diagrams here, there are different techniques, different ways of doing so. It's a major sugya, Mesechta Menachas. Every Mishmar had their own way of doing things. And the Gemara presents many opinions with regard, and it's not so far-fetched to say, Elu v'Elu, Divrei, Elokim Chaim. There's no one way to do something. Things can be done in multiple ways. And each Mishmar added its own unique flavor. There was a lot of diversity within the Beis HaMikdash itself. Where did that diversity come from? Well, it's rooted in this pasuk right here. In this pasuk, we find the first reference where the Kohanim didn't, even though the Kohanim have no chelik in Eretz Yisrael, the Hashem Nachalaso, they didn't just live in one catch-all city where everyone blends in. No, there was diversity. If you live in different cities, obviously you're going to develop different customs, you're going to do things differently. And then when things got more complicated, when there were 24 Mishmaros, and we know for a fact that there were 24 cities, each city learned and did things their unique way, and when they came and they took over the Beis HaMikdash, it became their makom. And when you, as a visitor, a tourist, or a person that had to bring a carbon on a particular day during the year, whatever it was, you showed up at the Beis HaMikdash, you may be shocked to discover, you know, I don't really recognize this place. I was here only 3 months ago, and you know, everything is very different. And now, it's not different an kedei kach, where, you know, there's a halacha. Halacha is halacha. You basically do the same thing. You dive in the same Shemona Esrei, but the nusach may be a little bit different. Yeah.
Even though it sounds strange,
yeah,
because you would think there would be a consistency procedure.
Well, that's the yofi. The beauty is.
But the question that always bothered me was, why is there so much locus about these procedures? Because what happened to the collective memory of what was in the Beis HaMikdash?
So either we forgot, or who says that in the Beis HaMikdash from the very beginning it was always done the same way? Like I told you, the Gemara presents
Lechem Aponim. This would be a way of answering that question.
You can't say there's no diversity in Klal Yisrael. We live today in a society where everyone just, you know, blends together. That's not the way it was originally. There was diversity. Yeah.
I always, following up what Miller said, I always wondered when the Gemara comes to the mission quote, the Sagana Kahana.
Yeah.
I always wondered if he was Sagana Kahana, he probably had the most visual reliance on what actually took place. My choice versus the other tonight, who maybe were not in the Beis HaMikdash.
That's true.
Day in and day out is Sagana Kahana.
Well, they don't necessarily argue on everything. Okay. I don't know the answer. You have to see exactly the sources that you're citing to understand where they argue, where they don't argue. Okay, but. This is just an idea, very interesting idea. There are 24 Mishmaros. Also, I once heard a very nice shot, what's the significance of 24? This is just going off the topic a little bit. But why 24? We know, we learned Yeshaya, there are 24 Tachshitei Kala. A Kala has 24 pieces of jewelry. And the fact that there are 24 Mishmaros is not a coincidence. It represents the idea that the Kohanim are the beauty, the Yoifi. They are the jewelry of Klal Yisrael. Just as the jewelry is something which enhances the beauty, the yoifi of a person, likewise the Kohanim, they were the yoifi, the beauty of Klal Yisrael. They served, they represented Klal Yisrael in religious service as spiritual leaders. And that is the beauty of the of Klal Yisrael.
There's something else regarding 24.
Yeah. I don't remember. There's another idea I saw. I didn't bring this in. A fascinating idea that it was instituted by Shmuel Hanavi. If you make a calculation, okay, when Yovel comes, and whoever is on, the Nishmar that is on duty at the time of Yovel is very lucky, because they divide among themselves all of the property that was donated by people and who did not redeem, or was not redeemed. In other words, a person has a piece of land. As a piece of land. And they say, you know what, I want to go give this a donation. I want to donate my estate to the Beis HaMikdash. And he dies. And the property goes to the Beis HaMikdash. So this is a halach of Geula. The relatives have the power to go to the Mikdash and redeem it for a certain price. If in the event the relatives do not come forward to redeem it, by the time it comes Yovel, and this is a situation like this, then it says that it's Yotza by Yovel, it's Riachirim. It, I don't remember the exact psukim, it's L'cherim, it becomes the property of the Beis HaMikdash, and it is distributed among the Kohanim. Now the question is, which Kohanim get the property? There can be millions of Kohanim. It goes to the Kohanim who are on duty that week, to that particular Mishmar. So, you know, it's very interesting that it's not fair, because what's going to happen if the same Mishmar happens to be on duty at the end of every single Yovel? So, Enochanan, that's exactly the point of why there were exactly 24 Mishmaros. 20, yes, 50 years, but still in the history of Klal Yisrael, it's not fair that every 50 years, there should be some system that throughout history, the property that will be distributed equally among all of the Kohanim. So there's a pasuk, there's a beautiful idea, it's more like a grot type of idea, that if you make a calculation of how many times there was Yovel, it works out perfectly that the number 24, if you go to the beginning of time, from the time of when it was instituted to the time of the Chomei Samigdash, it works out perfectly, perfect fairness of how many times each Mishmar was on duty when the year of Yovel arrived. And there was a fair distribution of property that was donated to all of the Kohanim of the various Mishmaras. I saw the calculation inside, and it's a very fascinating idea. That's one of the reasons why the number 24 is a significant number. The point I just want to make here again is, we have here for the very first time this idea where Kohanim, the children of Aaron, are being divided into 8 groups, and they are living in 8 different locations. Each location is an Ari Miklat. We do know that they were Mishmaros, and from this idea, the Mishmaros had expanded at a later point in time to further be divided into 24 cities, which were ultimately destroyed at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. And there's another very important halachic idea here in this pasuk. Who is giving these 8 cities? So we're going to see, this is where it comes to an end here. For this section, it was given by Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Shimon. And so they are giving up of their property to the Kohanim for their Ari Miklat. Shimon doesn't really have anything to give, because Yehuda, whatever they have was given to them as a gift by Shimon. Now here's the question: Allah, what?
By Yehuda.
Shimon was given to them by Yehuda. Shimon's property is not their own. It was given to them by Yehuda. And there's a shayla halacha of a person receives tzedakah. Let's say Rachmana Litzlan. A person is poor, and he takes a handout. He has no choice. He's desperate, destitute. He takes a handout. Number one, is he mechuyev to give tzedakah? Like let's say that someone gives him $100. Is he mechuyev to give 10%? And even if he's not mechuyev to give 10%, because the money that he has received is tzedakah, is he allowed? Let's say he wants to. I'm not mechuyev. Make believe I'm not mechuyev. I received the handout. So someone gave me $100. Am I now allowed to take some of that money and give it as tzedakah to someone else? The money that I have received was given specifically, you know, the donor, someone had to twist the arm of a donor. You know, we have over here a poor person in the community. Can you maybe give him $100 so he has what to eat? And now, okay, fine, here's $100, give it to the person. And now that person is taking his $100, he's taking $10, and he's giving a donation to some organization for other people. What to you? Do you have the right to do so? Can an oni that receives tzedakah, number one, is he mechuyev to give tzedakah? Number two, even if he's not mechuyev, is he allowed to take what he has been received and give it? Here you find that concept to some degree. This is something which is dealt with here, where who is giving up property to Levi. Levi, basically, they're like poor people. They're aneem to some degree. It's not nice to say, but they're being supported by the Tzibur. Hashem said, this is how it's going to be, that they have no nachala, they have no inheritance, and the other shvatim are going to give up from their inheritance to Sheva Levi. So Shimon, Yehuda receives a massive chunk in Eretz Yisrael. They get a chunk of land. Half Eretz Yisrael is Yehuda almost. They have the massive, the largest chunk, Sheva Yehuda. And then Yehuda says, okay, what about Shimon? New Shimon, you're not really getting. That's what that was part of the curse. Achalkim b'yakev, afitzim b'yisrael. Okay, so Yehuda says, we're going to be the Kohen, we have the biggest portion, we're going to give Yehuda, a Shimon, a chelek. Here you go, Shimon, here's some stock. Here are 25 cities for you. Take it. And now Shimon's, oh, thank you very much. We receive these beautiful cities. You know what? We in turn are now going to give some of our cities to Levi. Is that right? So in a certain sense, Shimon have received a handout from Yehuda, and they in turn are giving away from what they have received to Levi. So you do see such a concept does exist. You have to know how far you can take it. Can you take it all the way to the area of halacha, of tzedakah? But you do see such an idea of where things are being handed down. Right, yeah.
Yeah. You would raise two questions, the requirement and allowance. Was Shimon required to give it to Levi, or he did it?
Well, the answer is yes. The goyrol, seemingly, the details are obscure. We don't really know every detail. You look at the Mefarshim, it's very vague. No one knows how the goyrol even works, what's going on here, what's all about. But you do see a precedent. You do see the basic structure of this idea. Shimon got nothing. Shimon got a handout from Yehuda. That's really what it is. Okay, you want to put it in terms which are more pleasant, fine. Maybe it's not mamish tzedakah, but there's such a concept they're not getting from themselves. It's not their territory. This is territory of Yehuda. Shimon is getting a gift. And now, Shimon is being instructed by the goyrol, whatever that means, to give up of their gift, which they only have received from Yehuda, out of their generosity, and give it to Levi. So you do see such a concept. How far you want to take this in halacha, that's another question. But at least the basic structure of such a concept is presented here in these psukim.
Because if I took that concept,
yeah,
your first option that you must give is a proper answer. Not that I don't have to give, but whatever, because, right, you just said...
It's a very tough question, and you can't generalize. Every situation is different. There are many different types of staka. There are many different types of situation. You can't generalize. It's just a very abstract concept. An oni gets a handout. What are his obligations? Do I have to give tzedakah? Even if I don't have to, am I even allowed to give tzedakah? Here we find such an idea. That's all I wanted to bring. I don't know. There are no details because you can always delay it like this and like this, play with it. But you do see such an idea here, please present. Now let's go further. Let's just see the mitzvot very quickly from Pasuk Mem Beis until Pasuk Mem Vav. Pasuk Mem Beis and the mitzvot. So the Aaron. He explains it. Why are we repeating this idea that Aaron's descendants received the Kohanim. The Kohanim received a Chevron. We already mentioned that above, the few psukim above, that was divided between Kolev and the Bnei Aaron. Al Shehivsik B'Masha Nidu L'Kolev Chosa L'Oyma L'Bnei Aaron. Because we got detoured, we got sidetracked, by talking about Kolev, we have to now return to the topic. Ari Hamiklot, ki kol ha'odim hanitim l'kayhanim ha'lavim hayu koltim esaretzech v'chein amru rabbozinzal l'racha, a very important pasuk, and the Mitzudas makes this point. Don't be from those people that make that mistake and think the only sins which provided safety for the Ratzach were the Arim of the Levim, the ones who the real, the one that we call Levim. No, the cities in which the Kohanim lived, those 24 cities in the Kinos, are also Arim Miklat. Interesting, when those cities were destroyed, what did Klal Yisrael lose? They lost 24 Arim Miklat. They lost places to protect themselves due to inadvertent transgression. Text es Chevron. Why are we repeating Chevron? Al shehizkar hashar hizkar shuv eschem, because we mentioned all the others, so we mention it again. Since we're going to mention now 8, even though we mentioned Chevron, we gave it honorable mention above by describing the details, but since we're now going to review the other 7, so we throw in Chevron once again. Now, umimate ben yamin. Now this dibra maskul, that's the next, let's go back to pasuk further. Pasuk doesn't belong in this pasuk. Pasuk mem vav. Now we appreciate what these words, the other members of Kehas, because Kehas was divided into two lines, two matos, as the pasuk says, the Kohanim and the other members of Kehas, which remain regular Levim. In fact, the most prominent of the other Levim, which produced Haman. So Mimishpachas Hamateh, from the family of the Mateh, the other particular tribe of Kohas, Mimachatzis. Now, where did they take their portion from? So here is another very confusing pasuk. The Garul said, we want the other members of Kehas to step forward. You are now going to receive land to live. Who will give it to you? So there was another Garul. The ones that will provide will be Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Now that's all it says in the pasuk here. But we know from Sefer Yehoshua, and we also will know from a few psukim down the road in this perek itself, that Shevet Ephraim was also instructed by the Goyal to come forward and provide the other members of Kohas with land. So it only says half of Menashe. By the way, Menashe was divided between the east and the west of the Yarden. We are referring here specifically to the west side of the Yarden. The Goyal instruct they shall come forward and provide for Bnei Kohas. Arim Oser, 10 cities. They're going to give 10 cities. Let's see right away the Mitzvah Stavit Pasuk Memvav Hanosarim Ki Hakoyhanim Gam Himo Mimishpachas Matekos Gavim Kvar Loch. Like we explained, it's going to part of Machlas Lochem Nidnu Mimnachlas Chatsi Mate Menashe BeGorol He Tilo Gorol Mahim HeOdim Asher Yidnu. The girl decided which cities shall be given. Arim Oser, and here the Mitzudas says something that's extremely important to keep track of what's going on. Im Ore Ephraim Vidon. Okay, also says Don. I don't say Ephraim, but Don as well. That's even more confusing because Don is even more hidden than Ephraim. Ephraim is not so hidden. He will appear soon, but not Don. Don, Ephraim, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe join forces and were instructed by the Goyal to give land to the remainder of Kehas. Okay, let's go further. Mem Zayin. B'levnei Gershaim. Now we're going to the other family. Okay, so we'll finish with Kehas. Okay, we'll finish at least for now. We're not going to mention the names of the cities. The actual names of the cities we're going to get back to in a few moments. It's a big maze here, what's going on here. Let's just get the basics first, the basic overview. Let's go now to Gershaim. Gershaim was the family that stood on the right. They were the next most chashuv among the four parts of Sheva Levi. Ulevnei Gershaim, Limishbechoism, according to their families, meaning that each family lived in a different city, a different village. Mimate, so who gave them? Who was called forward by the girl to provide for Gershaim? Yisachar, and Umimate Osher, Umimate Naphtali, and Umimate Menashe Babashon. That's on the east side of the Yarden. 4 Shvatim are here being assigned to provide for Gershaim. How many cities? Arim Shaloish Esrei, 13 cities. Next. V'levnei Merari. Okay, we've already gone through three branches of Sheva Levi. The Kohanim, the Sha'or HaKohasim, Gershaim, and now we're up to Merari. Who's going to give the Merari? V'levnei Merari, L'mishmachaysa, Mimatei Reuven. Reuven, who's on the east side of the Yarden. U'mimatei God, they're also on the east side of the Yarden. U'mimatei Zivulun. Zivulun's on the Mediterranean, all on the other side. Zivulun, Bagoyrol, Arim, Shteim, Esrei, 12 cities. Yes, 12 cities. So we have over here, So we have over here 12 grand total of Sach HaKol, what do we have? We have here, it's 13, 10, and 12. Let me just take a step back. We went to Aaron. Aaron had, even though we only listed 8, right, the 8 cities, and maybe there were more. I'm just we'll go over it soon again. But basically, the first list of Yehuda and Shimon provided. We're going to see soon a total of 13. We only listed before 8. If I'm not mistaken, maybe I made a mistake in the counting. But we only listed some of them. But basically, Yehuda and Shimon, that we're going to provide for Aaron, for the Kohanim, gave 13. Then we came to the Sheor HaKohasim, it says they got 10. Okay, so that's 23. And now we have for the family of Merari, we have for the family of Uvei Gershom, Melati, Tomal, Naftali, Melati, Nasher, then we have from the Kohos HaNosarim, right there, and that was 10. The Kohos HaNosarim was 10. Gershoim, how many cities did they get? They got 13. And how many cities did the Merari get? They got 12. So it's 13, which doesn't say that number. It doesn't say the number 13. That's the only number that's missing. 13, 10, 13 and 12 is a grand total of 48 cities. Like it says in the Torah, for 48 cities. Now, here we go. Pasuk Mem Tes. Vayitnu v'nei Yisrael l'alevim es'onim v'es megoshem. After we got the basic summary, everyone in Klal Yisrael did what they were supposed to do. They gave up. Now we're going to review. Okay, that until now was the overview. Now let's get into the little nitty gritty details. So finally, their names are mentioned. We mentioned before the 8 cities, but now we're actually now going to specify who gave. It's Shimon, Umimate Bnei. And also Umimate b'nei Binyamin. Binyamin also participated in giving to the Kohanim. Ace Heorim Oela Asher Yikru'u Esem B'Shimos, that were mentioned by name. We're not repeating it. Okay, we're not repeating those cities because those cities were already mentioned back in Pasuk, starting with Pasuk Membeis. In Pasuk Membeis, we listed all of the cities. Now, I said it, I think I made a mistake. I think it's really 10. If you go back to Pasuk Membeis, let's count very quickly. Chevron, Livna, Yatir, Eshtemoa, 4. Chilez is 5. Dvir is 6. Ashan is 7. Shemesh is 8. No, it's only 8. Oh, right, Mati bin Yamin, right. Mati bin Yamin is Geva. Did I read that post? Did I skip that post by mistake? Mat Binyamin is Geva. Yes, Migoshev, yes. Olemes. That's 10. Yes, Migoshev, yes. Anosos, 11. Okay, so Anosos is Migoshev, Kolo. I skipped that post. I'm sorry. I skipped post Memhe when I read it with you. Umimate Binyamin is Geva, yes, Migoshev, yes. Olemes, yes, Migoshev, yes. Anosos, yes, Migoshev. Kol Orehem Shloish Esrei Ir B'Mishpichosem, a total of 13. So it's explicit. Back from Pasuk Membeis through Pasuk Memhei, there are a total number of 11 cities specified by name, and the Pasuk says there are 13. And all the Mefarshim ask, we count. When we count, it only is 11. So how does 11 equal 13? This is creative. creative mathematics to come to that number. And the answer is the Nigra Shehem. We don't know exactly which ones, but two of the open areas on the outskirts of these cities were so large and so chashuv, they were counted as a city to itself. In Sefer Yehoshua, there are different cities listed, and either it means that there are cities that are listed, the different cities had different names, they were known by multiple names, or in the fact we're listing different cities. But there was a grand total of 13 cities given to the branch of the Kohanim by three Shvatim, by Yehuda, by Shimon, and by Binyamin. Here in Pasuk Mem Beis through Pasuk Mem Hei, we actually list the names of the cities, and we list that there were 13. And now when we come to Pasuk, when we begin to describe it in more detail in Pasuk, the only thing that's missing from Pasuk Mem Beis through Pasuk Mem Hei is the name Yehuda and Shimon. That's the only thing that's missing. The grand total of 13 is there. The cities that we want to list, the 11 of the 13 that we want to list are there. And Binyamin is mentioned as participating in giving this to the Kohanim. Now, here in this Pasuk, when we begin to review the cities, when we begin to go into the details, the only thing that will come in detail that we need to fill in that has not been mentioned is the tribe of Yehuda and Shimon that was not mentioned back in Pasuk Mem Beis through Pasuk Mem Hei. That's repeated. Binyamin is repeated, even though we know that from Pasuk Mem Hei. Okay, so we're finished. We're finished with 1/4 of the division. Now we go to Pasuk Mem Aleph. Now we go to Kohath, the other members of Kohath, the Haman family. Vayihi. So how many cities did they get? They got a grand total of 10 cities. Now we're going to list the cities. Vayihi Arei Gvulam, Bimate Ephraim. Who gave them those cities? Look what it says here. It says here that it was given by Ephraim. What did it say back in Pasuk Mem Vav when we discussed the other members of Kohath who gave it them? Chatzi Shevet Menashe on the west side of the Yarden. Say Nechanami, these two psukim, they each one fills in what the other one is missing. So back to Pasuk Mem Aleph, Mimishchos Mnei Kohath, Vayi Orei Givulam, Mimate Ephraim, Vayi Dulchem Esori HaMiklot, Eshechem, V'yes Migroshecha, Behar Ephraim. Yes, Gezer, yes, Migoshecha, yes, Yok, keeping track of the numbers, that's already two, yes, Yok Me'om, that's three, yes, Migoshecha, yes, Space, Choron, yes, Migoshecha, that's four, yes, Ayalos, that's five, yes, Migoshecha, yes, Gashimon, yes, Migoshecha, that's six. Next, Umimachatzis Mate Menashe. Okay, that's what we learned back in Pasuk Mem Vav. Es Oner, that's seven. Yes, Mishach, yes, Bil'om, that's eight. Yes, Mishach, Lemishpachas, Lemishpachas, Hanosarim. So we're missing two. We only list eight out of the ten. Just like when it came to the Kohanim, we only listed 11 out of 13. Here we're only listing 8 out of the 10. Okay, that concludes branch number 2 from the Levim. Now we come to branch number 3. So now we're going. Now, by the way, one point I want to make is that when we list the second branch of Kohath, it only says Ephraim here, and before it says Chatzi Sheven, it says Ephraim and Chatzi Sheven Menashe. But we do know from Sefer Yehoshua that Dan also participated in giving away some of their cities to Levi. So maybe the other two cities that are not mentioned here came from Shevet Dan. Now we come to Pasuk Nun Vav. Levnei Gershoim. We come to branch number 3 of the Levim. Gershoim, Mishpachas Chatzi Mate Menashe. Menashe was called forward. Which Menashe? Menashe lived on the east side of the Yarden to give away Es Golan, the city of Golan, Babashan, in the region of Bashan. V'es Migroshecha, and its surrounding lands. V'es Ashtaros, V'es Migroshecha. Who else? Who else had to participate? The Umimate Yisochor. So far we have two. We have Golan and Ashtros. Keep track of the numbers. Matthew Yisachar is Kedesh, 3. V'yes Migros Shecha. V'yes Dovras. V'yes Migros Shecha. V'yes Ramos. V'yes Migros Shecha. V'yes Onim. V'yes Migros Shecha. That's 6. Umimati Osher. Es Moshol. 7. V'yes Migros Shecha. V'yes Avdoin. That's 8. V'yes Migros Shecha. V'yes Chukok. V'yes Migros Shecha. V'yes Rechov. V'yes Migros Shecha. That's 10. Umimati Naftoli is Kedesh. Bagolil, that's 11. V'yes Migoshecha, v'yes Chamon, v'yes Migoshecha, v'yes Kiryosayim, v'yes Migoshecha, for a grand total of 13. So here indeed, when it comes to the family of Gershoim, we have a whole long list of Shevatim that participate in giving up of their land for the Gershoim branch of Sheva Levi, and indeed we do list all 13 cities. Now we come to the last branch of the Levi family. The last one is Livnei Merari. So what is he getting from Hanosra Mimati Zivulun Es Rimono? Then he had 12. This branch, Merari, the Pasuk says has 12, so he gets Rimono Vies Migoshech, Vies Tovar, Vies Migoshech, Umi Ever Layarden Yurecho Lemizrach Hayarden, on the west side, Mimate Ruven, so Ruven gave us Betzer, Bamidbar, Vies Migoshech, Vies Yatsa, Vies Migoshech, Vies Kremos, Vies Migoshech, Vies Mefaas, Vies Migoshech, Umate God Esramos, Bagilad, Vies Migoshech, Vies Machanaim, Migroshecha, v'yes cheshbon, v'yes migroshecha, v'yes yazer, v'yes migroshecha. We have, I think, over here 9 out of the 12. We don't list every single city. The other cities are missing. Either the migroshim, the migroshehem are counted as cities, or there are just cities that are not mentioned that are found in Sefer Yehoshua. Levnei Yisachar Tolon. I'm sorry. There's more. That's the Yichos. So we have over here. The portion that was given by those remaining Shvatim to the last family of the Levim, Merari. Let's see the Mitzvahs very quickly, finish up. The Ori HaLevim. Let's start from Pasik Memvav. Let's wrap up to Memvav. Handle it from Memvav. Hanosarim. כי הקהנים גם הם ממשפחת סמטי כהוס והם כבר לא כוחו ממחצית להם נדעו ממחלס חצי נעת מנשה בגורל הטילו הגורל מה הם הורים אשר ידנו the girl decided which city shall be given from which shvatim to which families in the Levium Orim Oser 10 cities came from went to the other branch of Kehos Im Ori Ephraim v'Don Haniskam Lamat, like we mentioned before, besides Ephraim and Don. Don does not say anywhere. There is no mention that Don is giving up cities. I'm not exactly sure where the Mitsudos is taking this from that says Lamata. It doesn't say Don. Don is only found in Sefer Yehoshua. Mem Zayin, Lemishvachosam, Nechlikol Lemishvachosam, Ki Gam Himo Yoshu Komishvach Lebulavada. Each family lived in their own location. What the Mitsudos is telling us is that this idea that each family lived in their own location was not unique to the Kohanim. The Levim, who sung Shir, also lived in their own families. That also probably adds to the diversity of the Beis HaMikdash, is where the Levim who sang Shira, they probably had their own tunes, their own melodies. Each Mishmar of Levim came and did the Avoda. They alternated. Hayom Yom Revi B'Shabbos. They sang that Mizmar with a unique melody. Who says the melody that was sung by one branch, one Mishmar, was the same melody that was sung by a different branch? Each Mishmar had their own unique tradition. What's very interesting to me, though, is, see, we talk about diversity. We mentioned this idea that it was diversity among the Kohanim. Each Mishmar had their own minhagim. When you walk into the Beis HaMikdash in the middle of the winter, and you walk into the Migdash 2 weeks later, 1 week later, it's a different Beis HaMikdash, different customs, different minhagim. What about the Levim? Also different. What about the Yisraelim, the Mamados, who are on duty to stand, to be Mispalel? It could be they also have their own Nusach HaTfilah. It was different. You would think, this is very interesting, you would think that if you really want to add more diversity, there should be a different number of Mishmaros for Levim and a different number of Mishmaros for the Yisraelim. So each time the Levim, they all work together, the Levim and the Kohanim certainly work together. When the Kohanim are doing the Avodah, the Levim are singing Shira. And at the same time, the Yisraelim are coordinating with the Kohanim and the Levim. They should be davening outside in the Azara, even in the Azara itself, in the back, should be davening. So you would think that if you really want to make it really diverse, every 24 weeks when the Kohanim arrive, they should find a different group of Levim that they're not familiar with, and a different group of Yisraelim that they're not familiar with. And then when they come back 24 weeks later, oh no, we got now a new group of Levim. Where are you from? What part of the world do you come from? And what kind of minhagim are, what kind of songs are you going to sing when we do the avodah? And what kind of Yisraelim are out there davening? What nusach are they davening? You would expect this. This would make the diversity much more complex. But yet it wasn't like that. It was always the same group of Kohanim were matched with the same group of Levim. And the same group of Yisraelim, every 24 weeks, it was the same team, the same Kohanim as it was 24 weeks ago, with the same family of Levim that was there 24 weeks ago, with the same group of Yisraelim that were there 24 weeks ago. Because there's a limit to how diverse you can be. If you're going to, obviously that's how the system was set up. Because they could, if they won, they could have made the system set up where there's going to be a different number of Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, and that will cause everyone to meet new people, right? You're forced always to come in contact with them. You know, you have these dinners. I think the minig is in Buckingham Palace that you have to every course you go to a state dinner in England by the Queen. The custom is that every course you have to go sit at a different table. Right. So you get to meet new people. What? In England.
Tell us that story.
And I don't tell you that. Donner. So that creates a nightmare if you're Jewish and you keep kashrus. Because if they're going to accommodate you and they're going to provide for you kosher dishes and special kosher food, what do you do when you're up to the next course and you have to go to a different table? You have to bring the plate. You got to take it with you. It gets very complicated.
That's a story. I think you told us about the rabbi in Canada when Prince Charles came.
Yeah.
He said he'd only come if they give kosher, and he had to move from table.
He had to move with his.
And there were other non. There were secular.
And they wanted to know what he was doing. Right.
And when he went online, and
Prince Charles
talked to him.
What's all this about? And he was very, very interested, very curious.
The others came up, and he said, "I didn't see you moving from table to table."
That's right, it's a good story.
If you have the same group,
yes.
At least you know what the routine is.
Oh, so that's exactly the point. This is a fascinating idea. The idea of diversity of 24 Mishmaros itself is an incredible idea. This is not my idea. I've heard this before. Diversity, cloud, because today everyone talks about diversity. 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim. That's the ultimate diversity. Everyone has their own minhag, their own custom, their own siddur. Okay, you come to the Beis HaMikdash, clean out the Archkol Siddurim, bring in the RCA Siddurim. The next week, get rid of them both. We only want Archkol. That's how it was. But you would expect to make things more complex. Oh no. Who are we being matched up with? Who is going to be our support system? The Levim. Who are our support group? We never heard of these guys before. This is a new group, because there'll be 23 Mishmaros of Levim, and 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim, and 22 Mishmaros of Yisraelim, which would force you to meet new people, new support group, every single time you come to the Beis HaMikdash. There are three parts of support. There's the Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. But that's not the way it was. It was 24, 24, 24, which means the support group is going to be exactly the same. So there's a balance. There's a balance between doing things exactly the same and there being diversity. These two come together. Yeah.
Okay, so then
it was obviously very different. Then it was very different.
How come Yisraelim don't other Yisroel didn't have a chance to go to Beit HaMikdash.
Well, that's from the Torah. That was the Chedor Eger. That's because
all
of the Chedor Eger. Only Kohanim. Only Kohanim do Avoda.
I know that. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
The Yisraelim were there too.
Outside. Being misfallow.
The same ones all the time.
The same Mishra, the same group. There were 24 Mishmaros of Yisraelim.
Right, but were they always the same people or others?
Not exactly the same people, but the Mishmar was always the same. The Mishmar, the group, the family group was always the same. So this is a very fascinating idea of diversity. There are limits to how far you want to go in diverse. Let's go for the Mitzvah, the paragraph finished. Okay, we are over here by Yidu, but let's go to Pasuk Memtes. So this Baboshan refers to on the east side of the Yarden. Before we did not mention Shimon by name. Now that's what we're going to fill in these psukim. We mentioned their names. Some of the families. Okay, so here's what the Mitzvahs refer to above. Some of the cities listed here really come from Shevet Don, even though he did not get honorable mention. We only give mention to Ephraim, Chasi Shevet Menashe, but if you go and you look at the cities that are presented, you'll see some of them came from Don. For whatever reason, we did not give him Ulamal, Omar, Orim Eser. You'll count the numbers. There are only a total of 11. They're included. The Migrash of two of the cities was so significant it counted as a city in and of itself. We're missing two cities. So that concludes this parak. So we're basically over here. We have here the Orei Miklot. The numbers are, there are four branches in Shevet Levi. There are three major families, Kehos, Gershon, and Merari. Kehos was broken into two. One group was the Kohanim, the other group was the Levim, which produced Haman. And these four branches were given cities in Eretz Yisrael. We broke up Klal Yisrael into four parts. One section gave 13, that refers specifically to Yehuda, Shimon, and Binyamin. The next section, which was Ephraim, Chatzis Shevet Menashe, and Dan, gave 10. Then we had another group which gave 13, and another group which gave 12, for a grand total of 48 Orei HaLevim. Okay, we'll stop here.